The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. As we just heard read in the first lesson, where we listened to the story of the creation of the world, we heard that at the end of every day, God saw what he had made, and it was good. So the question I have today is, do you think God still looks at creation and thinks that it's good? You know, as I was pondering that question this week, I couldn't help but remember the time that we gave my daughter Rachel a playset for her third birthday. Now, it wasn't like the kind that we had back when I was a kid. You know, those two metal triangles that were held together with one rod that would rust, and the swings would come off eventually, and the slide would be metal, so, you know, in the summertime it would burn the skin off the back of your legs. And then as you swung, without a doubt, one of the poles would come up off the ground every time you went back and forth. No, not for my kid. We got her one of the wooden ones. And so my parents and my in-laws, they helped finance this little endeavor. And then it showed up one day, this huge pile of wood with the parts included. So for the next 3 days, I built this thing. And let me tell you, I don't know that if whoever made the directions had never written directions before, or they were just some brilliant engineer that had no way of communicating with us lowly home builders. But I eventually figured it out. And after these 3 days of losing almost all the skin on my hands, and well, almost losing my religion a few times too, it was finally built. And folks, it was beautiful, if I do say so myself. The first part, it was like a fort, right? And on the front, it had a nice plastic slide, you know, one that wouldn't get too hot in the summertime. And then there was a rope ladder going up another side, and on the back there was a climbing wall with all kinds of grips. And under it there was a sand pile, a sandbox for my child to play in. And then coming off of the top, there was this wonderful canvas canopy that was held in by two long PVC pipes that curved around and went into the holes at the very top. There was even a steering wheel inside of the fort. And then off to the side, there was monkey bars. And on the monkey bars, the swings were attached. It was three swings. Two of them were like the regular swings that go back and forth. And then there was one that was a two-person swing that was like a horse where you would pump back and forth. It was glorious for a while. And then a big windstorm came, and that canopy got blown somewhere in creation. And the sun and the rain and the snow, because it was in North Carolina, began to beat down on the wood, and the screws got looser. And then a couple years later, we moved to South Carolina, and so we had the movers take it down, pack it up, and put it back up in the backyard. And it was never quite the same after that. It wobbled back and forth, and we attached it to the playset that was already there. And so it started falling apart. And then after years of play and abuse, well, it became unsafe, and it was condemned by my wife and me, so the kids couldn't really even play on it anymore. And for a long time, it was just this eyesore in the backyard, until eventually I tore it down. But it wasn't until 12 years later, when I moved out of the house, that we finally got rid of the last part of that playhouse. You've probably built something like that before, right? I mean, something that you created. And when you made it, it was beautiful. It was perfect, just the way you wanted it. But then after a little while, after it gets a little wear and tear, it's not so great anymore. And then eventually it becomes an eyesore or just a pile of junk that you get rid of. I mean, it's not just things that we make. I mean, think about it. When we first buy a car, it's got that wonderful smell. You know, the carpet's clean. Everything's wonderful about it. There's not a scratch or a dent on it. And then, well, if you keep it long enough, it'll end up being furniture in your front yard for the neighbors to have an eyesore, right? So I wonder, after all these thousands and thousands and thousands of years, if God looks at the creation that he made and wonders if it's still good. I mean, has the world just become an eyesore that God's waiting to eventually get rid of? I think that's something that we often struggle with, especially when we think about, you know, end times and the return of Jesus. We've made it into this horrible, scary thing where God is just going to rid the world of, well, everything. But I don't think that's really what I understand of God. You see, what we heard in the first reading was how God created the world. And that's the first and the very beginning of the second chapter. And the rest of the second chapter tells another creation story. But then we get into the third chapter and we hear about the fall of humanity. You know, where Adam and Eve are in the garden and the serpent comes in and, you know, Eve takes a bite of the apple and hands it to Adam, and he takes a bite, well, of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then that's considered the fall of humanity, where sin enters into the world. But see, the rest of the story, the rest of the Bible, is all about how God is trying to restore humanity to what it once was. It's not about condemnation. It's not about ending everything. It's about restoration. And then at the very end, we end with Revelation, where it talks about a new heaven and a new earth. So we have creation, and it's good. And we have the end, and it's good. And all of the middle, we learn about the way God plans to restore humanity. And see, in that story, we begin to understand a little bit about who God is. And see, that's what today's all about. All of the other Sundays of the year are all about what God does. But Holy Trinity Sunday is about who God is. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father who created the world and all that's in it. The Father who loves us like a beloved parent, unconditionally and unimaginably. And then we have the Son, the God that became flesh and lived among us, the one that gave his life for us on the cross. And then we have the Holy Spirit that comes and is with us always, the one who gathers, calls, enlightens, and sanctifies us. This is the God that we believe in. Three persons, one God. Now, I got to tell you, the one trouble that I have with Holy Trinity is that if you ever have someone that tries to explain to you what the Holy Trinity is and how it all works, run away. Because at best, they're misunderstood. At worst, you're listening to heresy. Because this side of heaven, I don't think it's anything that we can understand. But what we do know is this. What the Holy Trinity is, what it shows us is that our God is all about relationship. The very essence of God shows us the love that our Lord has for humanity. Because the Father creates us. The Father loves us. The Son saves us. And the Spirit guides us. So God comes to us however, whenever, and wherever we need God to be. It's all about relationship. The very existence of the Trinity shows us that God will stop at nothing to be in relationship with you and me. And what the restoration of creation is all about is restoring that relationship to its fullest. And so that restoration still continues to this day. It is an ongoing process. Because let's be honest, if we were the ones looking at the world, would we say it's good? I mean, good gracious, there's nonstop wars. At some point, somewhere, somebody's fighting. We've got poverty, humanity, poverty, famines, homelessness, helplessness. We've got people who are sick and dying and outcasts. And good gracious, let's start talking about the train wreck that is 2020, right? We've got COVID-19, and we've got people shut away inside. We've got murder hornets. Good gracious, murder hornets. And now we have civil unrest where part of our society feels that they are outcast. So how can we look at the world and say that it's good? Well, you see, my friends, the hope that we have, the promise that we have, is that our God is a God of relationship who comes to us however we need God to come to us. And as we heard in our first reading, again, we were created by God in God's image. And that means that you and I are also all about relationship. We are about relationship with God, and we are about relationship with one another. That's who we are at our very core. That's our identity because we are made in the image of God. And so what God desires is for all of humanity to be in relationship. And that is God's ultimate plan. So how is God carrying out that plan now? We'll fast forward to our gospel reading. This is the very end of Matthew's gospel. Jesus gathers the 11 together. And he said they worship him, but some doubted. Some doubted. It shows right there. The 11, the ones who were closest with Jesus, the ones that saw him down the cross and have seen and are with him being resurrected, still have their doubts. And yet the very next thing, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. You go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all I've commanded you, and I am with you always to the end of the age. Did you hear that? The Great Commission, that God's plan for restoration at this point is us. Sending us, doubtful, fallen, broken, imperfect humanity, to restore the relationships on this planet. That's an awesome task, isn't it? Because let's be honest, our relationships are what's broken most right now, right? I mean, throughout this past week, when we turn on the news, we see so much unrest in our country. It began with one protest up in Minneapolis, and then it spread throughout the country because of the death of George Floyd. But I'll be honest with you, my friends, it's not about George Floyd, and it's not about the police. It's about the brokenness of a relationship. We have people in our communities that feel like they're on the outside, that they're looked down upon, that they're disenfranchised. And our problem is we want to judge that somehow. We want to make it a right or wrong, or say, you know what, I haven't done anything. I'm not part of that problem. But tell me, if I do something, whether intentionally or unintentionally, to make you angry, what good will it do for me to try to prove to you that I've done nothing to make you angry? You're still going to be angry, right? The only thing that can be done is for us to work together to repair the relationship. Trying to decide who's right and who's wrong and is trying to decide who wins and who loses. And let me tell you, if that's the case, we all lose. We are called to go to all nations. In other words, to all people, no matter what they look like, no matter what they talk like, no matter what they act like, we are called to go to all nations and teach them what God has commanded. And what has God commanded? To love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's who we are. Our very identity, because we are created in the image of God, we are all about relationship. And therefore, it is our responsibility to heal these broken relationships that are in our world. To show the love, the compassion, the forgiveness, the acceptance that God shows to us. That's who we are. It's not just what we're called to do. It's at the very heart of who we are as God's creation. As ones created by the Father. As ones saved by the Son. And as ones guided by the Holy Spirit. We are created in the image of God. And therefore, we are called. We are sent to build relationships, to heal relationships with God and with one another. Amen.